I have some remarks about Joshua and Caleb from the perspective or focus on the concept of courage. If you read Numbers 13 and 14, you know that God told Moses to send a spy from every tribe into Canaan, also known as the Promised Land, and report back what they had found. They were told to report about the land, the people living there, the cities, and what natural resources were available. After spying out the land, they returned and they gave their report. The first group of spies told how the land was bountiful and proved their report by bringing back a large amount of grapes, pomegranates, and figs. However, they then reported that the people were too numerous, too powerful, and how the walls of their cities were too great to overcome. Upon hearing this, Caleb, from the tribe of Judah, calmed the people and said that they should immediately go up and take the land, because with the Lord's help, they could do it. However, the others who had gone up with him countered by saying that they could not do it, because the land was so large, the inhabitants were bigger, stronger, and more numerous. When the people heard this report, they responded with crying, complaining, and murmuring all night long against Moses and Aaron for bringing them out of Egypt to die in the wilderness. Upon hearing this, Moses and Aaron fell upon their faces. They rent their clothes, challenging the people, telling them that the land was good and that the Lord would give it to them. They continued, saying they should not rebel against the Lord. The people responded by saying they were going to stone Moses and Aaron. At this time, the glory of the Lord intervened. He rebuked the people and told them of how he had provided for them, but they had continually rebelled against him. He then said everyone who was 20 years old and older would die in the wilderness at the hands of their enemies, but those under 20 years old would go into the Promised Land with Caleb and Joshua, who had trusted the Lord, and we find that in Deuteronomy 1, verses 35 and 36. We're going to come back to Joshua and Caleb in a few minutes, but I'd like to now turn to the New Testament, to Acts 3 and 4. These are wonderful chapters. I think we all know a lot about the third chapter, about the times of restitution. But in Acts 3 and 4, we find that Peter and John went to the temple to pray when they encountered a man at the temple gate who was lame from birth. The man asked them for money. Do you remember what Peter's response was? Silver and gold have I none. Peter then commanded the lame man by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to rise up and walk. The man was immediately healed and began walking and leaping and praising God. His healing drew a large crowd, and Peter began to preach to them about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He told of how Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose from the dead, and challenged them to repent and receive the forgiveness of sins and salvation. Upon hearing this preaching, the religious leaders were upset, put it mildly, and they put Peter and John in jail. The next day, the leaders brought Peter and John before them and demanded that they explain by what power and in whose name did they do what they did. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, challenged them about why they were upset, about healing. They gave the credit to Jesus Christ for the healing and how salvation was through him. After hearing this, the religious leaders decided to tell Peter and John not to teach in the name of Jesus. Remember Peter's response? This is Acts 4:19 and 20. Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. But we cannot but speak of the things we have heard and seen. After Peter said this, the religious leaders threatened them and let them go. Peter and John returned to their group of friends and rejoiced together and glorified God. Later, the apostles were again healing and preaching in the name of Jesus when they were taken into custody by the same religious leaders. They were upset that they had told Peter and John not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus, and now the whole city was talking about Jesus and his doctrine. Peter once again stood up and said that they would obey God rather than man, and continued by accusing them of killing Jesus, who was the Savior. Upon hearing this, the religious leaders discussed killing them, but instead decided to beat them and release them. The apostles once again rejoiced and praised God because they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. Much more can be said about both stories. What can we learn from these two stories about courage? From Caleb and Joshua, I suggest that no matter how things may look, or if we do not know what to do in a certain situation, we can always have courage because we can trust the Lord's promises. Those who trust the Lord are blessed and rewarded. And from Peter and John, I suggest we can learn many things. One of those is when we do the work of the Lord and share his word, people might get upset. Some people may get so enraged that they will think they are doing God's will by persecuting or even killing us. However, God says that if we have the courage to suffer for him by doing right, with Christ as our example, it is worthy of God's praise, and we glorify him. We are exhorted to put our trust in the Lord and be assured that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. His is a power sufficient for us. It requires all of our courage, all of our hope, every helpful element that we can put into the fight in order to bring about a successful issue. But the Lord supplies sufficient grace so that we may be overcomers. There is a courage that is born of pride, a pride that might say, do not back down. Do not let anybody get ahead of you. In a battle, the soldiers will vie with one another, each having a desire to do something especially conspicuous, which will bring them the applause of their comrades. They may need something to inspire them, desire for fame, love of country, music, etc., in order to give them courage to run the risk of losing their own lives or to take the lives of other humans. And this is the kind of courage that will help them to gain the victory in their battle, even though it be an unworthy motive for inspiring courage. In reprint 5350, it is written, "A courage centered on right principles based on faith in the Lord is not one which is characterized by bragging, but a courage that is noble and pleasing to God. It has its source in a realization that God has promised and that God is watching, and He desires us to be joint heirs with His Son in His kingdom. He is merely testing us to see whether we will prove faithful, and this courage with us must also be to do things in the right way. The way in which God will give us a mouth and wisdom may vary according to circumstances, perhaps by suggestions from another, perhaps in the hearing of a testimony, such as we heard just in this previous meeting, or it may be a text of scripture that would be especially helpful would come to our mind. But the thought is that our trust is in the Lord and that we are not to be fearful." In closing, I would like to read the Daily Heavenly Manna text and comment for October 22nd. I feel that they are very relevant to this lesson. The scripture is taken from Matthew 20, verse 22, and as you probably know, it's a question. Jesus asked, "Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of?" And this is the comment. The courage of our Lord in the narrow way fills us with admiration. What a strong character was his. He had no thought of turning back. He was intent upon accomplishing his Father's will, upon sacrificing himself in the interests of others. A noble pattern the apostles saw before them. Greatness in humility, victory through service. It is well that we should have clearly before our minds that unless we partake of His cup and are immersed into His death, we can have no share in His kingdom of glory. Let us then count all things else as loss and dross to obtain this necessary experience. As it comes to us, let us not be fearful nor think strange of the fiery trials that shall try us, as though some strange thing had happened unto us. On the contrary, even hereunto were we called, that we might now suffer with the Lord, and by and by be glorified together with Him. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? Amen.